الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه.
Quran Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters across the globe, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Qom, and the show is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran one by one to learn from them, but more importantly, to practice them in our lives. We want to live better lives. And to help us with that is Brother Habib. Brother Habib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for being with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so we're on chapter 69, Al-Haqqa, which translates to the inevitable or the undeniable reality, which is the Day of Judgment. Let's listen to verses 10 onwards from this chapter, and we'll be back for today's discussion. Don't go away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
فعصوا رسول ربهم فأخذهم أخذة رابية.
And they disobeyed the messenger of their Lord, so he seized them with a seizure exceeding in severity. Indeed, when the water overflowed, we carried your ancestors in the sailing ship.
لنجعلها لكم تذكرة وتعيها أذن واعية.
That we might make it for you a reminder, and that a conscious ear would be conscious of it.
You just listened to verses 10 onwards from chapter 69 of the Quran, Al-Haqqa, which translates to the undeniable or inevitable truth. And we're on verse 10. They disobeyed the apostle of their Lord, so he seized them with a terrible seizing. Indeed, when the flood rose high. Brother Habib, can you talk about this verse a little bit?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned in previous episodes, when he wants to give a chance for humanity to go back to the straight path, he sends them a messenger to warn them, to caution them, to tell them to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the orders that he receives from the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked about this in the chapter of Noah, that Noah tells them to return to Allah and obey me. And here the same thing, that when they disobey the messenger of the Lord, he sees them with a seizure exceeding in severity.
The next verse goes, indeed, when the flood rose high, we carried you in a floating ark, that we might make it a reminder for you, and that receptive ears might remember it. I have a question here. It's clearly talking about Prophet Noah, but it's saying we carried you in a floating ark.
Yeah, he carried their ancestors. They were carried, you know, like...
But he's saying you.
Yeah, it is. He carried you as well, Hussein.
Okay,
The Arabs have this. It's a figurative speech.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm talking to you and we saved you. How did you save you? By saving your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Your ancestors were available in that ship. Mm-hmm. And then you have offspring from them.
Mm-hmm.
So by saving your ancestors, we have saved you.
Effectively saved you as well.
Yeah.
All right, now God turns to describing the Day of Judgment again, the moment that it happens, that moment that we've described several times. When the trumpet is blown with a single blast, and the earth and the mountains are lifted and leveled with a single leveling, then on that day will the imminent hour befall. We're talking about the imminent hour now. It's about to happen. Can you explain a little bit about these parts?
Yeah. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ نَفْخَةً وَاحِدًا. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating that the horn is blown with one blast.
So there's one blow. We can
One blast. And some of them say it's that Israfil is the one that blows it. And others state that it's something else.
What does that first blast do?
Everyone on this earth dies.
So it completely takes away all life on earth.
It takes away all life.
Are we talking plants as well, or just humans or animals?
All life.
All life.
And then it starts like how the sky starts to shatter, or it's before that. And is it before that or after? There is some kind of, you know, unclarity from on my side. I'm very sorry for that. Whether it's before or after and whatnot. And it needs some, you know, returning to the people of the Quran to understand it more.
The mountains are lifted and leveled with a single leveling. So everything like becomes...
Yeah, just like
One surface. Wow. All right, let's take a break. We'll be talking more about that moment just after the break. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 16 of chapter 69 of the Quran. It's describing the moment the Day of Judgment begins. And the sky will be split open, for it will be frail on that day, with angels all over it. And the throne of your Lord will be borne that day by 8 angels. The question here is that when we normally talk about God, we don't describe Him in physical matters. But here we're describing His throne in very physical matters. And it's being held by 8 angels. It's as physical as it can be. Can you explain? Is there something we're missing here?
When we talk about the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to make this very clear. There's something very important we have to bring up first, and that is that the Shia school of thought, right, like most Muslim sects, believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a body or has no, let's say, matter, if it's correct to say it, or physical aspects to Him or physical features to Him, azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be seen. And when we state that He is on the throne, it means that He is in control of the throne. And when we say the throne, it's usually a figure of speech to power. Because the Arabs did not have thrones, yet they used to state in their words and their poems about the throne, right? And they would say that, and they would say it as a figure of speech of power. So whenever there's a throne, it's about power, it's about knowledge, it's about, creation or whatnot. So here, that's one thing to keep in mind. Sheikh al-Saduq clearly states this out in Al-I'tiqadat. Sheikh al-Tusi has a beautiful explanation to it in Tafsir al-Tibyan. And other Imami scholars are very clear about this topic. It's very clear that whenever we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not a physical matter whatsoever. There is no seeing Him, you cannot see Him, but He is existent and all powerful and whatnot.
Now about His throne.
There are two meanings to the throne in the holy verses of the Quran. One of them is being the power or His control or His kingdom. His sovereignty, His knowledge, His whatnot, you know, that comes with the power. Another is no. Physically, the meaning of Arsh, it means like the universe. Or it means the knowledge. Or it can be a physical Arsh. It could be a physical throne where 8 hold it.
What's the significance of that throne?
A symbol of power.
Oh, I see.
A symbol of power.
It still works on the Day of Judgment. I mean, I understand we need it now, but on the Day of Judgment, seeing that throne is still...
Yeah, something. And the throne might be very big. And therefore, holding it eight, it needs to be a strong eight.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be a strong...
It makes sense to humans.
Yeah. And of course, we have these sayings available. من زار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله في قبره كأنما زار الله فوق عرشه. That's one. Another saying from visiting Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, for example, فَكَأَنَّمَا زَارَ اللَّهَ فَوْقَ عَرْشِهِ. And over there, Sheikh al-Saduq explains it in مَنْ لَا يَحْضَرُهُ الْفَقِيهِ. He explains it in عَيُونَ أَخْبَارِ الرِّضَى. There is also a saying, Imam al-Ridha was actually asked this question.
Let's keep that. Let's keep that for after the break because it's very nice. And we'll be back. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. Brother Habib, just before the break, you were mentioning a few narrations about the value of visiting the Prophet's grave, Imam Hussein's grave. And you said something about Imam Ridha, who was asked the question. Can you please continue?
He was asked the question that, what is the meaning of visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we visit Allah by visiting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? Imam Ridha alayhi salam answered that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will reward the people who visited the grave of Imam Hussein or the grave of Imam Kadhim or the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, different narrations available. He will reward them by letting them be near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and sitting with the Prophet in the hereafter and eating on the same table spread as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Why is that? It is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam is the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the closest person or closest creation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
The Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt.
Exactly. So therefore, when you are visiting the Prophet, it's like you are visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the closest figure or creation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, you will be rewarded on the hereafter. It is available, and for more details, one can review Lanterns of Wisdom. There is actually a recorded lecture about this altogether. In short summary, when Arshullah or the throne of Allah is mentioned, there are two meanings to it. Either a figurative speech, like in the sayings, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, right? Or, for example, وَاسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, right? These are figurative speeches with various meanings. We will talk about them when we reach to that specific verse. Or it can mean what? Second meaning, a literal throne. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not sitting upon it. It is a symbol of something else.
It's a symbol of His power.
A symbol of His power. The symbol of His majesty. The symbol of that we are all owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because usually, how does the king come? The owner, how does he come? He comes out respected on the throne. That's how usually the high status king comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to show that the people are his. That's the king culture, right? Royalty culture, whatever you want
to
call it.
To show our position respect to God.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So, you know,
this
it just opens up.
This is something we should understand now, not on the Day of Judgment.
You should understand it now. Yes, you are a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, going back to this fact, whenever you keep this in mind, you are a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your life changes. The way you view this world changes altogether.
I think you should wake up every morning reminding yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, every salah is supposed to.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's what exactly it is. You know, you have any situation, Hassan, you bring up now, it will be different when you have this the mindset that we're talking about, and then the normal mindset that you usually have.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you have to pay rights. You have to give back money. You fell in debt. Everyone has a specific scenario. But when you have the mindset that you are owned by Allah, you will return to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who benefits you. He is the one that controls you or controls your destiny. You know.
It's calming when you're in stress, when you're in distress.
When you're in distress. It's also distressful when you're calm.
It's alerting when you're,
yeah, when you're calm.
Just great. Yeah. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. It's always wonderful talking with you. I always learn a lot. Thank you very much. We remember very important things that we should be reminding ourselves every day. Thank you for being so generous as to sharing your time with us. And thanks to our wonderful listeners for being with us. I'm afraid that's all the time that we have, but if you missed it, do not worry. You can always download an archive of this episode or our previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next episode, remember, we're reading the Quran to learn from it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Quran Quest, the program that answers your Quranic questions.